mass shootings, given the events that just recently happened in Virginia, for anyone who doesn't know, there was 11 people killed in a mass shooting at a municipal building by an employee who'd been working there for 15 years.
I didn't know he worked there.
He worked there.
I thought he ran up in there and just got off on him because they, you know, delivered his mail to the wrong spot. But go ahead.
What I had heard in the news report was that he worked there. I was watching Rachel Maddow. There was like 6 other people wounded. So given that, I thought we'd jump into some stats. So, get that CNN stuff back up here.
Gotta pull up some stats.
I was considering like all the mass shootings. Well, there were like 300 mass shootings in 2018.
Yeah, according to the Gun Violence Archive, there were 307 mass shootings in 2018 alone. Which was, you know, to put it frank, fucking ridiculous. That's out of control, dog. And honestly, you only hear about, what, 4 a year? But to have 307? Now, mass shooting, to put it in perspective, is 5 or more people. Basically, more than just a single murder. You know what I mean? A bunch of people got shot. Not every time people get killed either in a mass shooting. But a lot of times, that's the ones that get reported when people get killed. What?
Right.
Yeah, in a second.
And the biggest one I can remember hearing of in 2018 was Nicholas Cruz. He killed like 17 people. That was the Parkland, Florida shooting. That was like the biggest one I remember hearing about.
Yeah. Biggest one was the Affluenza
that
kid.
One in Virginia, that was like the first one since November. No, not the first. Sorry, the biggest one since November. So, not the biggest one, just, you know, since not even a year, that's 8 months.
You talking about the Virginia Tech shooting?
The one that just happened.
Oh, this one, okay. Yeah, and like, it started busting down my news feed, breaking news. I'm like, dang, they shooting up stuff again. And, you know, during our discussion, during our pre-discussion or whatever, we kind of talked about some of the reasons, so I'll let you dive into it, you know, why you think what was happening. You know, I could run my mouth the whole time, so I'll let you dive into it and talk about some of your factors.
Yeah, so, the last one that happened prior to this one, 12 people were killed on November 7th, 2018 at Borderline Bar. It was in Thousand Oaks, California. They were shot by shot an unarmed security guard and injured a bunch of other people. Killed himself. Like, so I feel like the biggest problem here that we jump into every time a mass shooting happens is that we just immediately be like, oh, well, guns, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, naturally, we just got a roundup on a gun thrown out, and then there won't be no shootings no more. Like, no, man. Like, mental health, you know, I feel like, is the biggest issue, and I was watching that thing about Columbine today, and I feel like the thing about Columbine is those kids, but something most people don't know, and I just learned, that they weren't actually trying to commit a mass shooting. They were trying to commit more like a terrorist attack. So what ended up happening in Columbine was they had bombs in the cafeteria, bombs set up in a place, and they were trying to set off the bombs and then kill people with the bombs themselves and with the collateral damage. But what ended up happening is that it didn't go through, and they were going to pick off the survivors with them. But what ended up happening is that didn't work. Their bombs didn't detonate properly, and so they had to pick off everyone, like, with the guns. So that ended up being a mass shooting, and we remember that as one of the first school shootings in history. But that wasn't what that was supposed to be. And so I consider, like, Columbine would have still happened if there was no gun.
How did they figure out that they wanted to do the bombs and stuff? What was it like in post, like post incident interviews and shit like that?
They looked at the way that they had set the whole situation up, and they realized that the guns were the plan B. Like, they realized that they had
That's a hell of a plan B.
Certain items set up in certain places to cause the most collateral damage. So the bombs were supposed to be the initial weapon. Like, that was what was supposed to do the most damage and kill
people. And was it like pipe bombs, or what was it? Was it like actual, like, C4, like...
Yeah, they were like simple, like, homemade bombs. Like,
They were serious, though. I mean, but that's the part I wanted to talk about as far as the mass shooting goes. And we can get into the gun situation, is that that stuff is pre-planned. While it's random to us, they've been planning to go and shoot whoever for a good while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
And that goes into mental health. Like, that has nothing to do with... You're going to choose your weapon, like, regardless. Like, mental health is what the main conversation needs to be. And we need to drag the stigma away from that conversation. Like,
so, but when you say aspects, like, when you say mental health, though, what do you think is the actual disorder, or do you think it's a bunch of disorders, or a different based on the person?
I definitely think it's different based upon the person. I certainly think some people can't be helped. Like, there are people that are just sociopaths. There's people who are just psychopaths. There are people who just lack empathy on a level that no one can help them. But I also think that mental health, like, matters in a sense of, like bullying. Like, that's not all school shootings. And there's research that was done that wasn't necessarily what Columbine was either. But, like, Nicholas Cruz, they're saying that's what that was, you know? They're saying he was bullied. So, like, I don't know, you know, whether or not that's true. Like, how a person decides to deal with depression, how a person decides to deal with anxiety, how a person may decide to deal with their home life or any personal trauma. Like, people may very well have PTSD. Like, and we don't talk about on those conversations until we make that the main conversation behind people to choosing to hurt people. We're not going to get to the problem. That's my issue. It's been about what weapon they choose to do it with, you know?
Right. No, that makes sense. Yeah, like, because think about the Boston bombers. You know what I mean? That was sort of the same impact, same effect, as much randomness. But it's not considered a mass shooting because they used a bomb. So I agree. Like, we're having all these, and they don't want to say it, domestic terrorist attacks. Like, those are terrorist attacks. You know what I mean? Whatever you want
to. That's what Columbine really was, if you really want to get technical.
Yeah. Like, if we're getting into it, those are terrorist attacks. But to call people in America terrorists would be to go against everything they've been saying, because all they're saying is radical Islam, they're terrorists. ISIS, they're terrorists. I'm like, no, the dude in Aurora, Colorado, he was a terrorist, dog. He just rushed up in a movie theater and shot a bunch of people. That's an act of terror. So they're not looking at it in the right context. And like you said, you can't really even combat it with mental health, because it's so many mental issues, and all of them crazy mofos have something different. You know what I'm saying? Because some people just want to watch the world burn, like you said. They just want to tear some stuff up, make other people hurt for absolutely no reason. Maybe they've been killing cats in their garage. We don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But let's talk about it. I just looked it up on, it's this site called PolitiFact. And I asked a question on Google. I said, are white males responsible for more mass shootings than any other group? Let's talk about it. I know people don't want to talk about it, but let's talk about it. What we got? The DC sniper? That's it.
Yeah.
And we talking about the ones that's publicized and that's major. That's it. That's all you're going to hear. Oh, well, hey, what about the DC sniper? What about him? First off, he didn't have a hairline to save his soul. He wasn't part of this community. You know what I'm saying? The boy ain't never visited a barbershop. You know what I'm saying? He ain't a part of that.
We don't know him.
Like, yeah, he ain't. That ain't us. He raised up around Jobs. So on PolitiFact, which is a fact-checking site, what it said was, that's mostly true. Because Newsweek ran a story.
Statistic on that too, by the CDC, by the Center for Inquiry.
Yeah, Newsweek, I guess, ran a story saying the headline was, white men have committed more mass shootings than any other group. And they basically went on to claim that 54% of mass shootings carried out since 1982, a hell of a long time, were done so by white males. That's a little over half. That's a lot, dog. And people aren't talking about this. So while they're able to push narratives, oh, the black community is this, black people do this, black people do that, and we may joke about it on social media, why aren't we saying, hey, look, a lot of white people are shooting stuff up. Like, why aren't we saying that? And I don't know. I think it's to protect the narrative. Like you said, we talked before, you know, a white officer kills a black kid. He was scared for his life. And you know what black people are saying? Well, hell, I should be scared of the creepy dude in the corner at the convenience store. Because y'all the ones that are shooting everything up. So if we're talking about it's a mental health issue, white folks traditionally, I won't say all white folks, but the people that are doing this, when you look at their history, they're not underprivileged. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that they just don't have the access to therapy and stuff. They probably already been to therapy and told the therapist they like to kill squirrels in the park. And nobody did nothing. You know what I'm saying? Nobody said anything. Right. So that being said, what do you think, since it's majority white, and it's just stats, since it's majority white, what kind of therapy or mental health solution would there be to stop mass shootings on this level?
Honest conversations, I feel like, are the start of most things. And as long as we continue to have a conversation centered around that, that's where I feel like it starts. So I feel like the conversation needs to be moving towards, like, less away from mass shootings and more towards, like, terrorism and, like, public killings, you know what I mean? Like, and the reasons for that, I feel like as long as the conversation is not set up correctly, that's where it starts.
Okay, so the right conversations, basically, because the NRA ain't coming up off of it. They gonna continue to lobby to make guns are gonna be there. Like, you're not getting rid of a gun, you know what I'm saying? But like the analogy we used earlier,
I feel like as long as the conversation is the gun, like the white person that wants to kill people, what are they sitting there thinking? Like, okay, still gonna kill people.
The gun made me do it. this AK just put itself in my hands and fucking. But no, that's literally how silly it sounds. So like, remember we was talking earlier, and we said, you know, if I want to cut down a tree, yeah, I can go get a steak knife. And it'll take me about 5 years to cut down this tree with a steak knife, or I'm gonna get the right tool to cut down the tree fast. You know what I'm saying? So, but how could I blame? That'd be like me saying, "Oh, I didn't cut down the tree; the saw cut down the tree."
So we should get rid of saws to save trees.
Yeah, we should. Exactly. Exactly. So we should get rid of the saw to save the tree.
Down with all saws to save trees.
We need sharp metal reform to save the forest. And I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. But where I just don't see it happening is there's some type of mass shift in, because we're not white. We don't know how they growing up for real. We don't really know what's going on in the house. We can have theories and stuff like that. But being that it's a predominantly white situation that's happening, what kind of therapy is going to, or what kind of conversation is going to change or stop them from getting set off? Like, I guess we'd have to look at what they said were the reasons for them going to shoot everybody up.
Well, that was going to be my next thing. My next thing is probably the policies in schools against bullying. Because schools implemented a lot of no-tolerance policies after Columbine, but then didn't actually do shit. Or those policies targeted the wrong children. Those policies tend to target children that weren't doing shit. Like, you got a kid that comes to school with a hunting back on accident from a camping trip, and he gets kicked out of school for a week. You know what I mean? But then on the other hand, you got kids actually killing themselves these days over like shit that's happening in school. So I feel like it starts with policies and schools, and start paying attention to people's children. Like, I feel like in a certain kind of school therapy that needs to be done isn't clinical therapy. We need attention to a lot of that being done.
Hey, you're breaking up. I don't know if it's on my end or your end, but you're breaking up on my end. I don't know what's going on. Hold on, let's get it right. We experiencing some technical difficulties. You know, you sound like Ultron when he was getting. Hold on. Let's get this together.
I don't know if it's on my end or your end, but you're breaking up on my end. I don't know what's.
My shit should be cool.
My turn. Yeah, bring me back in, coach. Put me in the game, coach. For those of you listening, we're experiencing technical difficulties. Shout out to Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook Live for totally dropping the ball. Sensei is getting, she's being a sensei and getting it together for us. For those of you just tuning in, we are talking about mass shootings in America and the actual cause of it besides gun reform, quote unquote. All right, he's back. Can you see me now? Can you hear me now? Hello? Can you hear me? Yes? No? Is it the signal, dog? I mean, I see me perfect. I just don't see y'all or, you know, what's happening. So, I don't really. Okay, there we go. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. You can't see me?
Yeah, I can see you now. It was like doing this whole freeze thing, you know what I'm saying? That be that Wi-Fi. That's, you know, maybe next time we're going to talk about this whole 5G thing and how we need to upgrade to 5G. Because Facebook can't get their life together. Are you on Wi-Fi? Is that what it is? Yeah, just open up another live. We're gonna do another feed. Yeah, I can't even see it. In short, y'all, 11,000 people in the U.S. have been killed every year in firearm assaults. And in the U.S., it says you are more likely to die from gun violence than any other causes combined. Right? So with the number of mass shootings, it's getting ridiculous. And to Sensei's point, it's not the guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And that's not an NRA quote or anything like that. Those are just the facts. So instead of talking about how we're going to stop the guns from coming in the country or stop people from buying guns, how about we stop people from being crazy? You are watching the Sensei and Sanji show. every Sunday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. To all my melanated and non-melanated peoples, peace. Get out of my face. So, to recap, because I just hit the record on the Anchor app, can you go ahead and hit me with those statistics again?
Yeah.
And you said it was from the Center of Inquiry?
The Center for Inquiry,
okay.
Yeah, it was a study done by Emma Friedel. It was a study done on who commits mass murder, like who are mass shooters.
Yeah.
The first definition is given for familicide, which is the most common forms of mass murder, principally defined as close victim offender relationships. Perpetrators are typically white, middle aged males who target their spouse, intimate partner, children, or other relatives. The second most common form of mass killing would be felony killings, which is distinguished by motive. Murder is used to achieve some primary criminal objective, typically involving financial gain. Due to their lack of sensationalism, felony killings are widely publicized, presenting the large category, and those tend to be young black or Hispanic males with extensive criminal record. The Friedel found that blacks commit twice as many felony killings as whites, which would be 50.49% to 22.33%. And then the third category is public mass killings, which is that accounts for the smallest portion of all mass murders. That's the one that we talk about when we sensationalize the most, like the one that just happened in Virginia and Columbine and all the other ones. That's what we consider public mass killings are incidents defined by attack location. They're typically defined as men who suffered a civilian in different areas. Research indicated this portion of them is typically public massacres. And those public shootings are what people wrongly consider as the most typical type of mass shooting.
Yeah, because those are the ones that's on TV. You feel me?
Exactly.
Like, that's what we're seeing. And so, I mean, is for all my conspiracy theorists out there, is that on purpose? Because if it was really about, you know, let's bring light to this issue, why not talk about the familial mass shootings and then the felony mass shootings? And we talked about, you know, at least, you know, we discussed that the stat that showed that black and Latinos, males, felonies, people have committed crimes before kill, we discussed that's like a different call. That's tribal. That's not somebody getting a quirk in their head and like, you know what, I'm about to go to the park and shoot everybody I see. That's not the same. It's just not the same. And also with the whole family thing, I think you mentioned it earlier, but the familiar ones where they kill people that they know, it was what, over 50% white middle-aged males?
Yeah.
That would have said, okay, yeah, so hey, let's talk about it. The shootings that are happening that are getting sensationalized, and I introduced statistic earlier, but it's 54% white. That is ridiculous.
Well, it basically goes to the point that, like, since you don't see white people committing the most felony killings, as in committing the most killings for a financial gain,
yeah,
or like a primary criminal objective, like, it kind of makes you question, like, what the, it kind of makes you have a question about the psyche there, I feel like.
Yeah, and what's the, what, I mean, when you interview, like, the white mass shooters, or even the white serial killers, they have some old weird ass reason for why they did it. It's never he owed me some money, or, you know, he disrespected me, or, you know, I had to protect my territory. It was just never that. It's always some old like Joker type shit.
My dog told me to do it.
Yeah. It's always some weird stuff. The weirdest. And so that brings us back to what What type of therapy, if any, could you offer somebody that's like that? What are you going to do? And
it's sensationalized. The crazy ones are the most often types, right? Like, serial killers aren't as common as, like, what we think they are. So, like, we gotta first, like, take that out of it. Like, the most common types of them are the ones that can be helped, right?
Like, and when you say can be helped, that's what I'm saying. What do you mean they can, like, be helped? How can we prevent it?
Like, can be helped, I mean, like, not a sociopath, not a clinical psychopath. Like, you don't lack empathy on, like, a neurological level.
Mm.
Like Bundy, there was nothing anyone could have done for Bundy. Like, there was nothing anyone could have done for Dahmer.
Manson,
like,
none
there
of
was
them.
Nothing anyone could have. Well, yeah, like, there's people that lack empathy. Like, there was probably nothing anyone could have done for John Wayne Gacy. Like, there was nothing for people to do. But, like, your average, like, criminal that, like, maybe killed somebody one time in a felony killing, something probably could be done for them, right? Like, your average felony killing, like, they might have killed somebody because they got frustrated about something, like, outside, like, in territorially, you know?
Yeah, or the bullying situation. You know, a lot of times.
Exactly. Like, but I don't know about that, because, like, sometimes I feel like that shit's a scapegoat. Because, like how they tried to say the Columbine kids were bullied and they weren't. Like, sometimes, like.
So you think sometimes that's a cop out, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think maybe the first thing. It's not so much what kind of therapy should be done for them, it's maybe what types of narrative should stop being pushed about that shit first, and what types of therapy can be, like, first we gotta examine the actual people that do the shit, cause, like, there's a narrative behind those people, and then there's people that actually do that shit, and that's, like, two different sets of people.
Yeah, it's like, if you are obviously spurred to act on it, and like I said, think about the affluenza kid, and the whole reason that he got off. Hear me. The whole reason that he got off was because he was so rich that he didn't have a proper understanding of consequence. That's what the defense used. And made up a damn disease and called it affluenza. It was the craziest stuff. But this actually segues into our next topic, which was something that Dr. Robin DiAngelo talks about, which is white fragility. And I'm paraphrasing here because I'm not a doctor. I don't have a doctorate in human psychology. But when I listen to Dr. DiAngelo, excuse me, she really breaks it down into terms like they don't want to feel imposed on some type of power. They feel some type of powerlessness, and they have to exude that power over the masses. You know what I mean? Some people just really do it for the attention and to feel powerful in that moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, you see the types of kids that, like, do those things, like when we're talking about school shootings anyway, or if we're talking about, like, mass shootings, like, I think Dylan Roof is a good example.
Yeah.
Like, they target specific people, and it makes you question, like, what in the psyche makes them target those people, and it's usually because that somewhere they feel an internalized threat from those people, and it's, like, impending for them.
Yeah.
Like,
and so I think, like, not to get too political, you know, because, you know, a politician is a politician, but there's something to be said about the shift from having the world's, basically, it rocked the world, having the world's first Black American president, and then what happens is we get somebody who's pretty much illiterate. I hate to say it, you know what I mean, but I don't think the guy can read that well. And, you know, no knock against you. I know people who can't read that well that are awesome people and are successful. Whatever. But the he stokes a different type of... Well, there's a lot of the high school dropouts that are on the billionaire's Forbes list or the top 50 on the Forbes list. So that's not a judgment of your character. But what he does do is he stokes a lot of racial tension and a lot of racial unrest. And so what happens was they had a black president. They didn't like it. They're like, oh, we're going to deal with it. It's only 4 years. And then he got reelected. They're like, oh, hell no. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we gonna vote in whoever y'all don't like. I guarantee you, if black people had been like, if black people and Latino people had been like, oh, we don't want Hillary to be in office, Hillary would be in office. It wasn't about Trump. It wasn't about Trump, but what he did was he played on white fragility, and you can call it white supremacy or whatever, but that's a whole nother topic. But basically, in my opinion, from what I got from Dr. Robin DiAngelo, what white fragility is when they feel threatened, they have to push back in some way. And Trump, believe it or not, is a pushback of white fragility. Like, no, we want him to, he's not doing nothing. You know, you can watch all the reports.
He was a knee-jerk reaction to Obama.
Exactly. And so now, one of the traits of white fragility is that they, solidarity. No matter what is going on or going wrong, I will explain away and deflect away the actual facts. And so you see that with Trump all the time. There's no other president in history who has been caught in over 400 lies on public television that like recorded, and people was like, oh, well, you know, this is what it is, you know, but it's policies. And so they're like, okay, well, the policies are trash too. I mean, well, shit. You know, so it's like, what are they actually going on? So when you break it down, what they're really saying is he's saying what we want to hear. He's putting blacks, Mexicans, Middle Easterners and every other foreigner in their place. And I'm like, wait a minute, he is? So why is he cozying up to Russia? And why is he cozying up to... Oh, because those are in his best interest, but he knew he was going to win if he played on white fragility. And not necessarily even white women, because white women predominantly voted for Hillary. White male fragility. And it's not to say that
he even wanted to win, because that's another conversation.
You said, what happened?
I said, that's if he even wanted to win, because sometimes I feel like he didn't want to win.
Right,
like,
now, he's shaking in his boots because when he gets out of office, they can actually prosecute him. So he's trying to deflect and cut all this shit out right now to save himself from going to jail as a billionaire. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
That narrative that they're taking your jobs, that narrative that they think they're better than you. Look at them. They got one president and they out here showing up to the White House in boots and all that. And it's just people aren't really getting to the root of that's the reason why Trump is in office, dog. He didn't have no policy plan. I just watched this CNN interview with Van Jones, right? You know Van Jones, a bald head black dude. When Trump first got elected, he went down to Trumbull County in, like, I think it was West Virginia or something like that. You know, Trump land. And he talked to this family who had voted for Obama twice. They were Democrats. They had voted for Obama twice, right? But when Trump came around, they voted for Trump. And he was like, what's the deal? And the dude, the dad or whatever, it's a white dude, white family. He was like, you know, he came through here selling us these promises and telling us he was going to bring these jobs here and all that stuff. And he just didn't. He said that the company, the car company that was in the city moved out of the country and the whole city lost 4,500 jobs. But this man is on TV talking about he's creating jobs for middle America. I mean, this white dude broke down and started crying, dog, in front of his wife and his kids. Grown-ass kids. So you got to look at it like, if that's happening, because that's not an isolated incident, if that's happening all over the country, why did y'all elect him? Y'all didn't see a shady salesman when you heard him? Oh, because he was, not only did he promise y'all them jobs, he also discredited and talked about the others, right? Those people. I wish they was in here right now. If you want to get violent with them, I'll pay for your legal fees for you to get violent. When you have the leader of the nation stoking the fires of white male fragility, what do you expect to happen? And so he promised this stuff. Then when it didn't happen, they're like, okay, well, since it's not happening, I got to make something happen. I got to make people scared of me. I got to reclaim some of my power. And what's the easiest way to do that? Like I said, I can cut at the tree with a steak knife, or I can go get a saw and cut it down within a day. So instead of, you know what I mean, talking these little talking points and narratives like Ben Shapiro and all these other people do, what they do is they go and get a gun and they make their presence felt so that the conversation's on a larger scale, and they actually got off with it. And guess what? People think, oh, well, they're about to go to jail, so they're going to get punished. Them white supremacists in jail is going to be hella happy they got there. They're going to be cool. They're going to be getting hella noodles, hella burritos, you know what I'm saying, big time favors. It ain't about to change for them. They didn't want to work anyway. That's a part of it too. So I don't know, man. Like the whole race discussion is like shoved under the rug. And while I do think that people need therapy and the narrative needs to be changed on, you know, how we address people who we see exhibiting behaviors that are like, hey, you know, hey, that kid over there, he been whittling a toothpick for about 5 days now. Somebody probably need to go talk to him. Outside of those conversations, we need to say, look, nobody's against you, dog. Nobody is. The government took your damn job. Raul didn't take your damn job. You know what I'm saying? you know, Marquise didn't take your damn job, dog. You got same applications. If anything, you go put an application at the same place these two people, you'll get hired first. So what is it really? What are we really talking about? We talking about you not feeling powerful when the elite told you that since you had a privilege. That's why you hear him say, what white privilege? I don't got no privilege. How come I don't got this? And that's resentment coming out in their words. They thought Trump was going to put them back in their shining glory, bring it back to the golden age, the 1950s. And Trump like, dog, I'm worried about me and my pockets. And played them. So now the only thing that these people have to resort to reclaim their power is going out and killing a bunch of people. And the dude in New Zealand is a perfect example of how it's so wide reaching.
Yeah. Like, and then but furthermore, then you have like the one from Charlottesville just feel like completely empowered by like the continuous rhetoric that they hear, like it's basically okay to say whatever you want now. Like it's okay to say that you
boy
don't like certain people, and that's all right. Like,
and the microaggressions have increased. I can tell a Trump supporter by just how they interact with me, and it's like I said, I'm not mad. One of my biggest mentors, like I was telling you about, Jason Todak, he's one of my biggest mentors. He voted for Trump. I don't hate him, and he don't hate me. But that's not everybody. And you know what I'm saying? We're not about to play like it is. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people really only voted for him because he was saying the type of stuff that they wanted to hear. And when you look at these mass shooters, they try to cover it up with the New Zealand shooters. But Trump's name came up in his little doctrine. And while Trump himself may not have been like, oh yeah, I want y'all to go out there and kill darkies and Arabs and brown people. He may not have said that himself, but he certainly said the others. He made it clear that you know, it's them against us in so many rallies. He'll say the dumbest stuff and they just eat it up. People are losing jobs, people's health care. And that was, it was the funny part about that Van Jones interview. when Obama did what they call Obamacare, but it's actually called the Affordable Care Act, people were mad because they were like, oh, my premiums are going up. People with that same, people with the private insurance, whether they got Obamacare or not, their premiums have doubled or tripled since he's been in office.
That's people have a fundamental misunderstanding of how insurance works. But the government made sure of that. They made sure that people didn't understand anything Obama did, so they were able to blame Obama when shit didn't go right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, the Republican government just obstructed him from doing anything he wanted. But as far as, like, the white fragility thing, I think the fact that you see more, like, white males committing femicides and mass shooting and public mass killing, but not felony killing, speaks to that. Like, you don't see them going out committing a killing for a financial motive. You see them killing, like, them. Like, the fact that the statistics speak to that.
For absolutely, essentially, not a valid reason. You know what I'm saying? Because we sensationalize gangsterism. That's why we got Al Capone, Frank Lucas, you know, all these people. We got these movies, Scarface and Casino and Goodfellas. We love a gangster. And them was white people. Them was Italian white people. You feel me? So you ain't got a problem with criminals. Quit, cut it out. Cut it out. You don't got no problem with criminals. Because them was the best-selling movies of all time. You feel me? But they have a problem.
Johnny Cash was a criminal too. We don't got no problem with him. None of that.
So where's the real problem? Black and brown people eventually will become the populist majority. And it scares.
That's what they're concerned about.
It scares that. No, it's like, you can go and look at Dr. Francis Kress. And that's what whole abortion ban came in, because 60%, and this was back in 1992, 60% of all abortions in America were Caucasian. And so if they're not having babies, and white women and black males and black women and white males are having babies, that baby is inherently black. For the one drop rule, it's just a dominant gene. It's just genetics. And she wasn't trying to say that there's anything inferior. Two white people have a baby, the baby come out white. A white and a black person have a baby, the baby gonna be brown skin. It just is what it is, and so forth and so on. Even if it's not even have to be American black, if it's African or Middle Eastern or a darker Asian or a brown Latino person, Latinx person, that's gonna be the dominant gene that portrays itself in the physical sense. And so those are factors that tie into the whole white fragility conversation, and why you start to see, once Trump got into office, an uprising and an increase, like 307 mass shootings. That's ridiculous, dog. That's ridiculous.
But, like, what's more ridiculous is that it's been that many and the conversation hasn't changed. Like,
y'all want to blame the guns. Check this out. Saws don't kill trees. People kill trees. It's people chopping down the damn trees. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And I'm not a spokesperson for the NRA or none of that. But that's just the truth. It's the emotions behind it. And look who the leader in chief. What is what they call the president? Commander in chief? Yeah, that's what it is. Look how he talks. He sits up and spews. Anybody who goes against everything he says, he down talks and trash them and says, you ain't with us, you ain't for this country. A whole lot of, like, nationalist rhetoric. And it's in, and you'd have to really listen to it to pick out the type of emotional distress he's putting white males in. And while you can say it's on purpose or not, who knows? But I know Putin helped him get into office for a reason.
That shit's definitely by design. Everything we see, everything you see every day, really like on TV, most of the things are marketed to white people, and many things are marketed to white males. And a lot of that shit is marketed to make them afraid. Hey, buy this Zit cream, or this bitch isn't gonna fuck you. Like, hey, buy this weapon, or, you know, you can't protect yourself. Like, hey, and then they turn on the news. Hey, black people are doing this, and Mexicans are taking your job.
And
then
think about
this. Hey, black people are taking. Then they turn on music videos. Black people are taking your women. Like, everything is marketed to them to make them afraid.
Think about Lil Nas X and the controversy behind that. They are hot right now. They are hot right now because there's a black man at the top of the country music charts. They on fire. And then when Wrangler was like, because he dropped that little line, Wrangler on my booty or whatever.
Yeah.
They went and sponsored him. They're running a whole line of jeans sponsored by Lil Nas X. People started flipping out. And those are some of the aspects of white fragility. Like, don't impose this. This is all we got. But they'll sit up and speak that, oh, we're all equal. Everything's on a level playing field. Hey, but don't fuck with my stuff, because it's not yours. Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So it's very hypocritical. But it's also typical. It's not nothing that we didn't know was happening. But like I said, you got people like Ben Shapiro. What was a little blonde chick that was going all over the internet, just talking outside of her ass and shit? What was the blonde chick that was arguing with Charlamagne all the time?
Hold on. Was there the Tory?
Tory. I forget her name, but people like her who are just chronic deniers that there is a race issue in America.
Tommy Lauren.
Yeah. Just chronic deniers that there was a race issue in America. Soon as a black person is on the top of the country music charts, now it's a problem. I thought there wasn't no issues, though. I thought we was all equal. I thought we could do all this. Nobody had no problems with Post Malone. Nobody had no problems with, what's his name? G-Eazy winning the best rapper of the year with Billboards. Nobody, Astro Raw, nobody had no problems with this. He said Darius Rucker.
White people who their favorite rapper is, and they'll tell you Eminem. Goddamn.
And Tyler, I'd have to talk to you about that because I really want to know. And my friend Tyler got on here and he was like, Darius Rucker was at the top of the country music charts and nobody gave a shit. Now, I don't know who Darius Rucker is, but I bet his name ain't Lil Nas X. And I bet it ain't like a trap country music song. You know what I'm saying? So, I get it. Yeah, Macklemore, for instance, winning the Grammy over Kendrick Lamar. Damn. Come on, dog. Like, so.
Macklemore winning as many awards as he won that year, period. Like, damn.
Period.
He shouldn't have won anything, but he won that many. Like,
period. Now, I'm going to look up the Darius Rucker thing, but I bet it's some bluegrass. Down home, you don't know who that is singing that song. But the fact that it's and I read the comments. You can find the racism in the comment section. You don't have to go very far to see racism in America, and it's not isolated incidents.
No, it's like every comment section of everything. Go play. Anyway.
Right, so.
They might not be racist to your face. They'll definitely be racist in your comments.
Definitely.
That.
It looks like we're going to have to bring my boy Tyler on the show as a guest, man. He gonna bring that white male perspective that we need on here. You know what I'm saying? Why is y'all, let me know this. Why is y'all shooting up shit? But no. So.
We can bring my nigga Two Chainz on.
Yeah, we gonna bring. We want.
Bring our Jewish male perspective on here.
On God, because here's the thing. We do need that. You know our quote is agree to disagree. Like, we don't have to agree. And I want your perspective, but what I don't want is deflection. If something is in plain sight, if something is in plain sight, like people are about to do what they did to Nike when Colin Kaepernick got endorsed. They about to burn their damn Wrangler jeans. Like, your jeans, dog? Like, you're just that serious over some jeans?
Are they going to burn them with them on this time?
Hey, man, I would love to I would love to see it. But it does speak to... You know what they had the nerve to say? That Lil Nas X is cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I know, I heard. I was like, we invented the shit. Just because we don't like country music now doesn't mean it's not ours. What?
Oh, that killed me. It killed me so bad. Sometimes it's hard to read the comments. I just have to get out of there because I get triggered. But definitely...
When did country music become... Is country music white culture? Is that what that is? Is that all y'all got?
Apparently Wranglers are, and they hot. So so here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Oh, we have this NASCAR Bud Light and Wranglers. Leave us alone.
Hey, but they can have NASCAR. I would never go to a NASCAR game. I actually would fear for my life. It's not even a game. I said a NASCAR game. I would fear for my life to go to a NASCAR race. It's just not for me. I'll watch Talladega Nights. That's as close as I'm getting.
I feel like I'd get a bomb ass snap.
But no, so look, Tyler said Wrangler is white jeans, bro. I'll give you that, because all I'm buying is Levi's, dog. I'll give you that. There's no he put
the jeans of the black community.
unofficially, even though the dude was racist, unofficially, we rock Levi's. We'll spend about $50 to $60 a pair on some Levi's. I ain't gonna hold you.
Hey, that's another conversation for another day, but I don't feel like it matters when clothing designers are racist. Like, hate us all you want, bitch. You don't hate our cash and you don't hate our influence.
I'ma still eat McDonald's and whatever I wanna eat, even if the manager don't like me. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Yeah. We will have to bring that up next time. So put this phone on a charge.
Hate that shit.
Okay, Polly Duff has a question. So right now we are just doing an audio podcast, but we are available on Spotify. We're available on Apple. We're available on the Google Play Store. If you go there and you type in Sensei and Sanji, how we spell it, we will pop up and you can listen to our podcast. You can also listen to it on anchor.fm/Sensei and Shanji. So, hope that answers your question. We will also be posting links on our respective Facebook pages, so you can just click on the links and go to it from there. But if you want to stream it on other platforms, we are available. All right, so we're recording now, so I'm going to brief the people that are listening on the podcast in on what we're talking about. We're talking about black flight. We've heard about white flight, and I really didn't study into it because there's so many, like, white supremacy, white privilege, white fragility. There's so many adjectives, stuff like that. So there's a thing that I think is real. It's called black flight, and a lot of times people are so quick to be like, oh, you're a coon, or you're an Uncle Tom, or things of that nature. And a lot of times, I don't really think it's necessarily, like you discussed earlier, that they are against black people. They're just not for them, right? They're not, because you do got the coons and the shuckers and jivers that, you know, dance to a tune. But you also, you also got the people that just, they say things like, oh, I don't want to deal with that mess. I don't want to be a part of the drama. I can't live down north. If you're from Omaha, you'll know what down north means. Sorry if you're not from here. So they say things like that to distance themselves from the black community until they deal with a severe racial discrimination incident. And now they want the black community to cape for them when their whole time, their whole lives, they've been trying to separate themselves from a black identity, what we would consider to be a American black identity. Because we all know that while I don't think Africans don't like us, they know they're not like us, if that makes sense. And they have a deep-rooted history and traditions they can fall on and say, I'm from this country. Black people can't say we're from this, you know, we they call us African Americans as if we're a subset. So who's an American American? Who's a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So huh? The native? No, they call them Native Americans. They even got a subset. They don't even just say, oh, they're American. So
yeah, but that they only consider that a subset because they consider themselves above it. I mean, with the inherent definition of the term native, they would be the rightful Americans. Exactly.
And that's another topic. When we coming up with topics, we're gonna be able to talk about next week for sure. But the whole black flight epidemic is almost like a mass migration out of blackness. And it's nothing physical. Sometimes they will move out of the neighborhood, but a lot of times it's just them trying to move away from the mentality and narratives that black people use to bring light to situations. So when the whole police brutality thing was happening, and I told you back when I was younger, I didn't think of the police as anything other than a problem to criminals. Like, seriously, I didn't. Like, if you sold drugs or you hurt people or you killed people, the police were there to do that, right? It was never, and when I got pulled over, I would flip out on the cops. I ain't gonna hold you. Like, I could have been one of them stories because I would flip the hell out on cops. I'm not playing because I was like, I know my rights. You know what I'm saying? But in today's climate, I can't do that. I have to be very tempered because of the narrative. We can shoot you and say we were scared. You know what I'm saying? So is black flight a reaction to the black image being perceived as a threat again? Maybe it's even not, but is it because they like, hey, I'm one of the good ones. You know, hands up, don't shoot. Bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, don't. Hey, I'm not that. I promise. I went to Harvard, or you know what I'm saying? I eat kale and spinach. You know, like all this weird shit that they think doesn't identify them as black. You're black if you're black. You know what I'm saying? Like, me and you are two totally different people, but we still understand that we want the next generation of black people to progress and advance, regardless of how different we are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think it's two subsets of types of people that do it. I think there's the ones that genuinely want to assimilate out of fear, I feel like that's what Ben Carson is. Like, hey, you know, I went to school with y'all. You know what I mean? I'm not one of the hooligans. So like, you know, don't take me out of politics. Don't kill me. You know what I mean? Like, but then you got the other ones. I don't feel like that's all of it. I feel like there's a subset of black people who feel like assimilating with white people is a sense of status and it gives them a sense of superiority. Like when you were talking about feudal times, like when you were saying how like basically the upper class will give penance to the middle class to make them feel like, hey, if you, you know, attack those other, the poorer whites, like the upper class whites, will give penance to the poorer whites and be like, hey, you know, go attack the black people over there. You know, we'll give you extra reward. Like, it's the same thing. Like, black people in America today, I feel like the middle class, like those, like, hey, you know, if you break away from them, if you act less ghetto, if you put your hair like this, if you act like this in a corporate office.
We'll accept you.
Yeah, you'll get a seat at the table. You'll get a seat at the table.
And literally,
you and your family, you'll be one of us.
I literally just experienced this. So I just went to Kansas City, and Tyler, I'm going to get to your point, because Tyler said it doesn't matter if you went to Harvard. He said, look at Ted Bundy. Hold on, son. He said, look at Ted Bundy. Dude was smart as fuck, but he was a serial killer. That's literally our point. It doesn't fucking matter where you studied, what you do. Kanye said it. Even if you in a Benz, you still a nigga in a coupe. It doesn't matter. Like, you're black regardless, because you were born that way. So,
but if Ted Bundy had been black, can you imagine him being sensationalized like that, no matter how handsome he was? Fuck no. Michael Ealy could have killed that many people and he wouldn't have gotten away with it like that.
I still think it would have been a big deal, though. I do think it would have been a big deal.
Big deal, yes. Same kind of big deal where people were actually saying he should have gotten away with it? Fuck no.
Yeah, see, I didn't know about that, but like you said, you studied them serial killers a little bit more in depth. You know what I mean?
Even on the little documentary that they did on Netflix, they were showing women saying, well, I just think he just doesn't look like the type of guy to do that. He's so clean cut and handsome. Like, he's clean cut and white and handsome. Say that he's white, and you don't think white people do those types of things.
No, that's real. And we, next week we should probably talk about that movie, When They See Us. So we're gonna have to. I'm gonna try to get and watch that movie, and then we can dissect that movie. Yeah, and look, even Tyler said that they wouldn't have made a movie about it if he was black. So I fucks with that. So I was just recently. I was just recently in Kansas City, right? And it was my cousin's husband's cousin. You know, black people always got to, you know what I mean? My baby mama's sister, brother. You know, he always got a chain and shit.
My baby daddy's sister, cousin, Tracy.
So we was down there and this guy was talking to me, right? We trying to have an intellectual debate, right? And I let him spew his stuff, but when he started talking, he was like, you know what? I work for the Harley-Davidson plant, yada, yada, yada. Mind you, they just laid him off, but he's so proud of his position. And so he was just like, you know what? I fire more black people than I did white people. And you know why? Because they didn't want to work. They went in there and acted like niggas. I said, what? And you know, the revolutionary in me was just blown away. You know what I'm saying? I was just blown away, like, I don't really know how to respond. But I've been learning to try to understand people like this. Like, let me ask these questions. Like, why are you talking like this? And so what I gleaned from it, what I gained from it was like, he had to, and he kind of said it out of his own mouth. He was like, I'm not about to jeopardize my job for niggas. And I keep using that word because that's the word he used, and that's, he had brought it on in a negative connotation in his own mind.
So a black dude?
It was a black dude, dog. Who had, yeah, it was in it.
But that goes back to like what I was talking about too, like when I said I seen somebody make a post and everybody thought this shit was funny, and I really didn't think shit was funny at all. Like, I'm not gonna, whatever, I'll paraphrase the post and shit to keep you anonymity, but it wasn't the only post I've seen like it, I'll say that. And it was like, yeah, well, the Taste of Omaha is gonna happen. I just wanna enjoy some food and have a good time. Please don't suit it up or some stupid shit like that. I'm like, why do you know who that was directed at? Why do you just assume that niggas just don't wanna have a good time? Like, I understand that, like, shit happens, but, like, y'all don't act like that towards white people when they go shoot up something. Like, you don't.
Or when they cause, you know how many times, you know how many times that I've been to a bar and a brawl broke out amongst a group of like white people or a group of Latinx people? Like,
We've all seen it.
But the narrative is niggas don't know how to act. You feel me? And that's why I feel like black flight happens. If I can prove myself so far removed from blackness, whatever that means, if I can prove myself so far removed from blackness, I will somehow be accepted into different social circles. I won't be looked at like this. And the truth of the matter is, you're still going to be looked at like that.
But then it's like they internalize it as blackness is synonymous with ignorance, synonymous with stupidity, it's synonymous with drama and violence and lack of camaraderie. And it's synonymous with everything that, it's synonymous with qualities that are inherently negative. Like, the fact associating blackness with that is part of the problem. Like, and so it's like, maybe if you weren't going along the lines of white is good and black is bad, you know what I mean? But
And I seen it real big, like I said, when I lived out in D.C., those type of black people only want to be black when it's cute. They only want to be black when it's like, yeah, girl, rock your natural hair. Yeah, girl, this how we talk. You better slay. You better come through, all this other stuff, or even dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you know, then the vernacular that we use, you know, cuz real, or this and that. You know, like, it's only blackness is only okay when it's cool to do. But any negative aspect of the black community gets so overblown and pushed as that's just us. When, you know, Tyler just said it on the comments, he was like, the best times I've had were with black people. White people get drunk and want to fight. Now, this is coming from a white dude who's probably been around a lot of white people drinking. You know what I'm saying? So why is it the narrative that white folks get drunk and fight? And even if, why aren't other...
That narrative isn't pushed as a negative narrative. Like, people kind of make the narrative about Irish people and shit, they can get drunk and fight, but that's, like, cute. Like, I always say this, like...
It's negative when we do it, but it's like you said, it's cute when everybody else do it. Oh, you know, it's in his blood. He's Irish. He's feisty. Well, nigga, it's in my blood. You know what I mean? I got PTSD from getting shot at and shit. So it's like, why wouldn't I as a black person identify with the rest of my community just because I've gained a different either education, financial level, or status level in life? What would make me move away from my culture and my people? And that's why I think, like, the black flight epidemic is real, and they're doing it on a whole different scale. Like, a whole different scale.
It's very deep rooted, though. I mean, it's very, very deep. It goes all the way back to, like, house niggas. I mean, like, it's so deep.
And I'm trying to run away from it because, look, even when I worked in the nonprofit community, some of these people were so, their biggest thing was, are we helping black kids? But not those black kids. They only if you fit this description of, like, not even a lost cause. Like, say a kid, for example, grew up black, grew up in poverty, experienced blackness, but they were kind of like the outlier. They were, you know, articulate. They were just poor. Or, you know, they were very smart. They were just poor. That sort of thing. But they weren't aggressively black, if that makes sense. So the way they talked, their vernacular and things like that wasn't aggressive. They wasn't coming up to you like, you know, hey, cuz, what's up? I'm not really fucking with that. And, you know, some kids nowadays will talk to you like that. And so the black people that are in these nonprofit communities, they would shy away from those kids. Oh, we can't do nothing with him. Little Ray Ray carry pistols to school. I ain't dealing with that. He might shoot me. They're literally scared of their own people. Like, it's mind blowing.
But they're not taught to think of that as a mental health, or as an environmental, or as a societal issue, or as, like, a community issue. They're not asking why Little Ray Ray feels unsafe and feels like he needs to bring a gun to school. They're not asking about Little Ray Ray's home life.
They just passing him to the side.
Yep.
ain't nothing we can do about him. It's just, hey, that's how dudes is. And I told you about that experience I had at the job where I just made like a small comment and a black guy, dude, blew up on me. Oh man, you need to get that hood mentality out of your mind. Now he don't know me from a can of paint. He don't know me at all. But because I didn't switch up how I talk, like I'm professional, but I'm not about to switch it up to appease anybody.
How you doing?
Hey guy, you know what I'm saying? Hey buddy, like hey, what the fuck? Like you know about it? It'd be different if I was trying to sell you something. Whatever, you hear what you want to hear. Give me some money.
You're having a conversation, you're gonna continue your same vernacular. Like,
so that's, I think that we should really talk about it in the black community. Where what is causing this black flight? And do y'all really think that if you separate yourself from blackness, it's going to protect you from microaggressions, racial discrimination?
Well, I also think it's psychological and subconscious, though. Like, the black people that are doing those things, I don't think that they realize that they hate themselves.
Mm.
Like, just like the black men who, like, won't date black women.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that
yeah.
says something about you. I don't give a fuck what you think. It's not just a preference, buddy.
Yeah. It's not.
Like, it's one thing when you say I find other women more attractive. Fine, whatever. That's a preference. But like, I won't date black women because black women act like this. That's internal.
That's self hate. That's self hate because exactly. you came from a black woman. You know exactly. what I'm saying? So do you think your mother acts like that?
You're internalizing the narrative that white people presented to you your entire life about black women. White people have drilled into you subliminally that black women act this way, and you see minimal examples in your life, and you attach those examples to the overarching narrative, and you run with that.
Like, yeah. And there's many reasons, and we can definitely talk to that specific, because that's a big subject, that's a big topic. And while I don't think, you know, there's a lot of black men that are equal opportunity. So, you know, it's whatever, you know, white woman, black woman, Asian, whatever, y'all, hey, you know, whoever wants it.
I don't discriminate.
I am definitely an equal opportunity employer. So, EOE over here. But no, it's a real issue. It is self-hate. And like Malcolm X said, who taught you to hate you? Who taught you to hate you? Who taught you that to talk down on your own people in front of other groups? Because it's not just, they don't just do it with white folks. They do it with Mexicans. They do it, Latino people, because not all Latino people are Mexicans, excuse me. They do it with Asian people. They'll even do it with African people.
They do it to us. I was watching a fucking Kevin Gates video. Niggas ask me why I don't like Kevin Gates, and there is one reason why. And it's one video this nigga made where he thought he was making a point, and it pissed me off. He was like, niggas kill niggas. Niggas steal from niggas. Niggas rob niggas. The only thing I hate more than a nigga, another one. And then he basically made a point that, like, black people, niggas are just as bad as everybody else, so I don't give a fuck about niggas. Nigga, it don't matter what you thought you were saying right there, that's still hate, and you're forwarding that.
That's on Kanye's level. That was some Uncle Ruckus ass shit.
Niggas wonder why I don't like that nigga. Fuck that nigga.
And I felt that in his narrative, because what it was he was most likely a curb. But look, lame niggas can say tight shit sometimes. For real. So, no, for real. So, he got on. Yeah, he got on his little, I'm about to just write good. And so, when you listen to his music, the main theme is him putting down other niggas to get broads. Now, I can't stand the Dirty Mackin' ass fool. I can't stand the Dirty Mackin'. You putting down other dudes to get women, you have zero game, bruh. Like, you got zero game. And so that's why I couldn't stand him. But I ain't seen that interview because I just stopped following the guy because that's the type of narrative that he's on. But let's keep it real. They probably told you you wasn't real enough, dog. But now you got a platform, you get to tell other people that they ain't real because you'll never be in their circles. You'll never ever have to deal with that no more because you're famous. You feel me? So like get out of here with that, man. And like, so we can definitely expound on it. I think we definitely coined the phrase Black Flight. You know what I'm saying? So we might have
like,
to.
Rather than what I think we should do is rather than continue like, because I don't want it to be like, well, niggas kill niggas. I don't want it to be like that. I feel like instead of, we should do something about it. Like, what we should do about it is we should just like promote more. Promoting self love in the black community. Like, I hate when I see black men say that they feel like black women don't love them. I see black men say that they feel like the black community don't care about them. Like, we should just promote more of that. Like, rather than continue talking about black-on-black crime and shit, like, stop promoting that type of shit. Like, promote self-love at all times. Like,
and what's crazy is, I used to say this a lot back in the day. I used to say this a lot, was that if I was to walk down the street in 40th Ave, or any hood in the Bottoms, in Deuce 9, whatever, the black people there would see me and immediately be like, who is this nigga? What's going on with him? And you know what I mean? And it's instantly aggressive. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen them look at a white man, probably my same age, and look once, and then look away, never say, don't even mention it. So there's a level of self-hate there that's just been taught. You know what I'm saying? Look at the whole, and I don't.
And it's subconscious as fuck. Like, they don't even realize that that's what it is. Like, they've just been taught. Other niggas are the enemy. Like.
And the music is so prevalent with it. That's honestly why I can't listen to new music. Because all it is. Hey, you know what I mean? Yo nigga a bitch, you need to fuck with me. Yo nigga, y'all niggas is bums, I'm better than y'all. I get all these types of bitches, but I don't care about them, I just fuck them and leave them. And the bitches be like, excuse me, I'm getting out of pocket. But the bras, women, let me correct it, the women will literally eat it up. And I'm like, are you listening to what they're saying? But then these same women.
Bitches.
But it's like, are you listening to what they're saying? These same women though, because I got all females on my page for the most part. These same women that listen to these artists that put down other black men and demean black women will turn around and want love from black people, but also like claim that they're like so for everybody. But it's like, and I get it, you can say, oh, it's just for entertainment. It's just and you know, I just think it's funny. No, you don't think it's just funny. There's a reason why Cardi B blew up. There's a reason why. And all she does is put dudes down. There's a reason why black men don't feel like black women fuck with them. And I'm not gonna lie to you. Here's the deal. When I mess with women outside, and it's me being candid, bringing in my own life. When I mess with women outside of my race, they are more, and it's not them submitting to me or like giving me anything. I don't ask for shit. They just do shit to cater to me, and in turn, it makes me want to cater to them. When I have engaged with black women, they have this wall up. Either they have this wall up, like I'm gonna ask them for something, or they ask for shit. They always expecting something. I've never had, when I was dating a Latin chick or a white chick, I've never dated an Asian chick, so I don't know. But when I was dating a white chick or a Latin chick, she never asked me for anything. And that's not to say that all black women are like that, but the black women that I found that don't ask for shit, they put down dudes. So it's like you're taking your independence and making it unapproachable. You know what I'm saying? When this same woman over here in this other culture was the same amount of independent, but it didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not about to use it to, like, down talk black men or put y'all down. Y'all ain't shit. It don't matter. It didn't matter to them what I had, and it didn't matter to me what they had. But black women will do that. You know, if they're broke, they will beg. If they're independent, they will put black men down, but then say there's no good men out here. And I'm like, you're pushing them away. And the only way, and this is why they get played, whether they're affluent or not, is because you can be bought. All I have to do is show a little finances and show that I'm not a quote unquote bum in your eyes. And you just gonna give me everything. I'm gonna sleep with you and I'm gonna leave because I never really valued you. You never really.
But I feel like that, the reason why that happens is because, like, I feel like it ends up being a defense mechanism that, like, black women be having. I feel like it's not that they want it to be that way. It's all subconscious. I feel like, because I also don't feel like it's necessarily that the other races are different, because see, from my experience, I've dated both races of women and they do the same shit. What I mean by that is that the white women that I've dated, like, the broke ones, they asking me for shit, and the ones that got some bread, they doing me any kind of way, cause whatever.
I can dig that. And so it does break down into,
I feel like it ends up being a defense mechanism. Like, a lot of women aren't taught, I feel like that gets into a thing about women, like, where a lot of women are taught to, like, bargain with their pussy these days. Like,
thank you, just, like, Cardi B. I'm sorry.
To find someone that cares about them and find someone to grow with. Like, a lot of women have internalized subconsciously to bargain with their vagina. Like,
thank you.
I have this. You need to give me this because I have this. And if you don't give me this because I have this, like, if you're not paying my bills, if you're not satisfying me, then you're not. Then you're trash, and I'm moving on to the next nigga. And you're worthless, and I'm gonna demean your self worth as a person because you can't help with my self worth. It's so weird.
It's so weird. And I was literally, we're gonna have to talk about this. We're going to have to talk about this next week, for sure. We're going to get this, when we get off of this, you know, the live and stuff, because we're still recording. It's about an hour and 10-minute segment, but I feel like it was necessary. It was necessary, and, you know, you're absolutely right. I can't necessarily put it on black women, because I love me a black woman. Like I said, I'm equal opportunist, but what I do see is, and what I've experienced is, black women hold black men to a standard that they don't even hold themselves to sometimes. And so it's like, like you said, you're asking me for money, but when I tell you no, I'm broke, who's asking for money though? You know what I'm saying? Like, so let's move beyond that. But even like you said, all women do that, because, you know, you deal with broke Latin women and broke white women too. I do think it's a woman thing, and I can't necessarily speak from a woman's perspective. I'm not that. I can only speak from relationships and experience that I've done. But like I said, with the majority of my friends list, I could do a case study on, like, and like relationship patterns versus how people, you know, post and think type stuff. So let's talk about that definitely on next Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Relationship dynamics between cultures. And
yeah, but capping it back to the what we were talking about, like,
Black flight.
Yeah, I think that, like, because racism is going to be, like, ever going, like, I don't feel like that's something that's ever going to go away. All that we can do, like, we're never going to stop seeing black people trying to assimilate, because it exists in every minority as well. Like, if you see Chinese people trying to assimilate and distancing themselves from other Asians, like, you see the same people, like, you see Hispanic people do it, like, so I don't feel like that's going to go away. All I find we can do is individually, like, promote different mindsets against it. Like, we can individually self-help and self-love. Like,
what I would say though is, what I would say though is, I get it, but the individualistic narrative has ruined black folks. And here's why I say that, because while it does happen in those other communities, they still have an agenda. They still have a unified agenda. You feel me? And
we
so
we don't want to be self-made, and we don't want to work together at all. But like, nobody is actually like. Meanwhile, the white people aren't most concerned about being self-made. They're just concerned about being made and making it.
Exactly. And then when they get the opportunity to bring Bob and Jerry over here up, they just do it. The motherfuckers aren't qualified, but you know what you'll hear from black folks?
We're gonna shit on everybody in our community when we get up.
Yes. Yes, we're gonna down talk you. And you know, even if we deal with other black people, it's only gonna be the other black people that have the same type of
affluence,
the same type of status, what looks good. And they may be just as toxic. You know how many Christians I've met that was just toxic? You know how many, like I said, people in the nonprofit community?
You know, non-middle class, who act like they're middle class, who just think, as long as I make this much, I can pretend that I'm slightly different from the rest of the black people in Omaha. I'm not like them niggas.
For real, and that's the real issue of black flight. Nobody is telling you not to live in the neighborhood you want. Nobody is telling you not to take trips and travel. Nobody is telling you not to avoid drama. You should avoid drama whoever it comes from. But when it comes back to reaching back out to the black community and when working towards causes that affect us systemically, everybody should be a part of that. Everybody should be a part of that.
Don't get yourself a nice job, move out the neighborhood, and now all of a sudden niggas is this, and I hope niggas don't do this. Like, just, we're still a community.
Niggas is your mama. Niggas is your family.
Then those same black people turn around and talk about black success. Like, then we're applauding the upper class black people, right? Like, we're all cool with them. Like, but we want to disassociate from the poor black folks.
Exactly. Exactly.
We make that synonymous with violence and gangs. Like, we assume everybody's gangbanger. We assume everybody's hood. We assume that black people don't want to go to places and have a good time. Like,
and we've seen it happen. Now, if you go into, like, if I went to the Amazon and I busted up in the, where it was some tribal lands, they told me, hey, look, over there, them aborigines over there will kill you if they catch you. And I was like, you know what? No, we just gonna have a party over here anyway. Like, what the hell would you expect to happen? You feel me? What the hell do you think would happen if you rolled up in the jungle where there was a tribe of aggressive natives and they told your ass, hey, don't go over there because it's real aggressive over there. If they don't know you, they not gonna trust you. And you like, oh no, we should be able to go anywhere because we just got it like that. And then your ass get your head chopped off and you want to blame the aborigines. You shouldn't have been there. You know what I'm saying? So that's my thing with like the tribal thing versus the actual mindset of those black people. Because outside of that neighborhood, them same gang members are a lot of times decent dudes. But if you come into my space, and this is what I claim is my space, it just is what it is. It just is what it is. So let's go ahead. Let's, you know, we obviously, you know, get into it real big, and maybe we'll even extend it next Sunday. But we're gonna get some.
I wanted to respond to something B said real quick. B said,
go ahead.
That a lot of black people don't have self love. They don't understand what's being preached, and I feel like that is such a big issue. Like, that is such a, like, that's one of the main, like, I feel like that's one of the main issues we need to talk about, like, over anything. Like, I feel like that is the root of so many problems in the black community.
It is.
And we don't love ourselves.
You remember when Kendrick Lamar made that song before he really blew? He was like, black people don't love me. Have you heard that joint with J-Rock? That's so true. He said, why everywhere I go, I gotta experience some hate. And you really get that feeling. And I'm sure that's why those black people, the black people who have been shunned and said, oh, you talk white. Oh, man, you ain't from the hood. Your family got this. Your family got this, a whoop-de-whoop. Or even the black people, not only just the black people that's middle class talking down on the poor kids, but the poor kids like, oh, you ain't really hood because you ain't did what I did. You know what I'm saying? And I made a status to that effect the other day, but it was more so, hey, don't judge if you ain't really, you know what I'm saying, if you ain't really from there to know what the experience is. I wasn't saying it like, if you middle class, you're inherently a bad person, but don't use that stature and that status to down talk people. But also, if you from the hood and you really experienced that, don't use that type of status to put down people who ain't experienced that. We all black, dog, and we all gonna experience the same racism, the same microaggressions, no matter what. So there needs to definitely be some unified effort to stop this black flight and to stop people from trying to run away from these subsets of blackness and just say, hey, look, we all black. And the narrative and the gender is this.
Black. We need to stop thinking of black as like a definition of a certain type of person. Like, this is black. Like, this is it. That's it.
That's
like,
it.
Everything else, like,
you're black because like, you're black.
People act like if you act a certain way, like if you're more intelligent. People act like if you're gay. Like, people attach LGBT to white. Like, that's not synonymous. Like,
that's not he's right. Like, this right, this
like,
ain't that.
Like, we are all a community, and we should all support that, like the black community. Like, not if you act like this, then you're one of us. That's not
right.
How that works.
And so, and it happens on both sides. With the upper the middle class side or upper, you know, whatever you want to call it, whether they're Christian or not, or you know, we ain't like them black folks. No, dog, we're all black, but we're different.
The white people have against us, we've been internalized against other black people.
Exactly, we're all black, but we're all unique and individual, and there's different parts of us, you know what I'm saying? There's different people.
Yeah, but we've internalized an us versus them mentality. But I think we can definitely, we're gonna have to flesh this out more. Like, this is gonna have to be another topic. We're gonna have to bring this topic back up.
Okay, definitely. So, for the listeners out there, to wrap up the episode, if you're just tuning in, we talked about mass shootings. So go back to the front, listen to that. We talked about white fragility, and because we're equal opportunities, we definitely talked about black flight. A phrase I'm going to just say we coined. so if somebody start using that phrase,
you heard it here first.
So tune in next week, same time, 4 p.m. to whenever we feel like stopping. It's been real. And I'll hit you up when we get off this, when we get off of here, and we'll go kind of recap and go over next week. Bet.
Word. And thank you all for tuning in.
Bet. Peace.